of God. Anybody who is awakened and on fire for God, he has encountered the love of God. The second level of awakening is an awakening into the life and the power of the Holy Spirit. When you find a generation burning for God, defying all forms of limitation and impediment, they have touched a power. Nobody going forward is going forward without power. There's an ability that propels men that go forward. Nothing moves without energizing. And so if you find that generation, listen, like I told you in the morning, it's not easy to stay awake. The Bible gave us many things that can make us fall away. Number one, it spoke about iniquity. Number two, it spoke about the cares of this life. They are legitimate cares. If you are not falling because of sin, cares can make you fall. If your children need to pay school fees and you don't have money, you must do something. If you don't have a place to lay your head with this cold, thank God I'm not here. One of the greatest attacks on your faith is cold. I just discovered that one now. I came out of the airport immediately, my mouth smoke started. I said, where is this thing coming from? I was not feeling cold only on my arms. Even my legs were catching cold. I said, I've never caught cold in Africa on my leg. What's going on? They now told me that here, even men wear tight. In Africa, tight is only for women. Here, even men wear tight. Because you will catch cold on your bone. It enters your bone. So those are legitimate cares. And it's one of the reasons men fall. And that's why many times the devil attacks the circumstances of people. And this is why one of the areas of empowerment is empowerment over circumstantial issues. I'm telling you, people must be empowered to cause things to work in their favor. God is interested in it. So if you don't fall away by iniquity, you can fall away by the cares of life. And then the deceitfulness of riches. So even those who have are not exonerated. There's a system that the devil has created to enter your head to make you feel if the diamond on your hand is 24 carat, then you belong to a class. If the car you are driving, if the headlamp is diamond, then they recognize you as somebody. And you see the rich every year, they keep updating to match up certain status. It's a burden. That's why many fall. Deceitfulness of riches. And some, like I told you, the money is persecution. Warfare and persecution. The devil will come. But by all means, we must touch powers. Those powers are the forces that shield us from all of the oppressions that weaken men. And so there must be an awakening to what? The life and the power of God. And then number four. Thank you so much. There must be an awakening to righteous living and consecration. A lawless generation cannot represent God. So there must be awakening to the love and fatherhood of God. There must be awakening to the life and power of God. And there must be awakening to righteous living and consecration. I'll touch them one after the other very quickly. And then we'll draw the curtains. And our introduction will stop tonight. From tomorrow, we will start doing business in deep waters. Meanwhile, from the second day, after every session, there will be impartation. Because certain things are taught cognitively. Others are transferred as a body of spirit. There are some things you can never learn by hearing and reading. You must touch it tangibly. He said the things that are from the beginning, which we heard, we looked upon and we did what? Handled. Some things you have to touch it tangibly. No matter how I talk about power here, some people, it will be theology. Until I approach you and you feel the radar. Because there is a time when I will be clothed. That's what I'm saying. And you will feel it. You will know it. You can't deny it. Even if you try to resist it, you will know that this thing came from Zion. It's a mortar. And then some of you came with challenges. If those challenges are solved instantly, having tried everything and it didn't work, you will know that, guy, there's a realm beyond the brain. Men have tried, but there are realms. And those realms are not available to us because we are preachers. It's for every believer. But some people need to be jump-started. battery may have the potential to power an engine, but sometimes you need to connect wire to jumpstart it. Then it will start working. So that's the reason for the impartation. Your notes may be filled, but you need jumpstarting. So we may blow on you or lay hands on you. When you are jumpstarted, you may even start prophesying. Because we've jumpstarted some people like that. They started praying for the sick. 1 week later, they said, I prayed for somebody who had eye condition and was healed. I prayed for cancer. I said, you have not gone through training. How come? It was there. The potential was there, but you needed jumpstarting. So from the second day, we'll start having impartations. I will lay hands on everybody several times. If I sense any move, I will transfer it. If I sense any move, I will transfer it. Several impartations. Several. So that when you leave here, your life will not be the same. Meanwhile, I've spoken with Apostle Weddy. We'll be having this training after every 90 days. There's a lot of equipping required this year. By after the third contact, you won't recognize yourself. Some of you will have catalogs of testimonies, catalogs. You'll be amazed what God will do with you. I'm telling you. After every 90 days, so I'm coming back towards the end of March and April. And then I'm coming back again around June before the apostolic invasion. Yeah. Glory to God. So let's look at awakening to the love and fatherhood of God. Romans 8:32. I want to show you something because this is where rest is. Rest and dominion. And the reason many believers fall, the reason many believers are overcome, is because they don't know the love of God. So the devil uses guilt. He uses anxiety. He uses fear of rejection to make them run away from God instead of running to God. And so there is a barrier created between them and God. And even when they are close to God, they are under pressure because they think they are accepted based on performance. So the day they fast, that day they feel God is close to them. The day they don't fast, they feel guilty. Is it good to fast? Yes, I'll talk about consecration. But you see, whether you fast or not, it doesn't affect how much God loves you. And so a generation must come to understand the unconditional love of the Father. If we don't know it, we will look for strongholds in men, in system, and in things. Many Christians today believe in their friends to cover them up much more than they believe in God. So when they do something bad, they confide in their friends, but they will never talk to God. Some believe in their biological parents more than God. And some believe in systems more than God. Some persons today, their God is their insurance. Their car is insured, their house is insured, and it's good. Don't get me wrong. But their soul too is insured in a bank or in an insurance company. They have a problem because they believe things. They've not found confidence and assurance in God. And that's why the things they hope they want to do for God, they never seem to summon enough strength from their spirits to do it. They've attended retreats, they've gone to mountains, but they come back, they return to ground zero. Because if you don't have safety and assurance in God, you can't do much for God. If it's on this side, your greatest strength will be your realization that God loves you unconditionally. It will take pressure from your walk with God. In fact, when you can't pray, it's God you will talk to about it. There are many people who can't pray. They call you, sir, please pray for me. I don't know why I can't pray. For the past 3 days, I feel dry. Oh, apostle, please pray for me. I found myself doing something wrong. And then you ask them, have you told the Holy Spirit? And they are shocked. Because they think something outside God can provide more assurance and safety than God. And that's where they miss it. Every other thing is secondary to God's operation in your life. But you must have an encounter with the love of God. Liquid encounter. And that's what Paul tried to show us here. He said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Do you know why? Sometimes you come for a meeting, you are not sensing the anointing, yet you say the power of God is going to touch people. It's because your assurance of God and in God is superior to what you feel. You know that if Christ was given for you, anything you ask will be done. This is what takes away insufficiency in your walk with God. There are many times when you want to represent God, your humanity will rise up to challenge you. Not even the devil. You just came out of your office. You are tired. You've not eaten. You've not even prayed that day. And they confront you with a woman and they say, this person has cancer. You can't even muscle enough strength to lay your hands. You already told yourself it won't work. And you don't believe that God will respond if you do anything. You know why? Because your walk with God is based on performance. But if you find this unconditional love, whether you are qualified or not, it doesn't matter anymore. Because all things are yours. All things are not yours necessarily because you did something. All things are yours because God already gave you his best. So there's nothing else you can withdraw. When he gave Christ, he gave everything. But a generation must wake up to understand the unconditional love of God. This is why Jesus invited us to ask. In Matthew 7, verse 7, he said, ask, you will receive. Seek, you will find. He said, knock, the door shall be opened for you. Now, what was he trying to show you? He was trying to show you the love of God. Because he went further to say, as wicked as your earthly parents are, if you are here this evening and your mother was wicked, can you wave at me? Your mother was very wicked, or your father was very wicked. Is there anybody here? Your parents were very wicked. Once in a while, you can find certain cases that you can't explain. But more than 90% to 98% of the time, it's impossible to find parents who are wicked towards their own children. Even a witch protects his child. And hope you know that all of us here, there was a point where we were so vulnerable that even if we fell on the ground, we would have died. You were at that point of vulnerability. The first 1 week of your birth, if you fell from anybody's hands, you will die. At the most vulnerable state of your life, there was a tender love that your parents showed you. And most of us here, even when we had not realized anything about the future, our parents enrolled us in school. I remember the first time I went to school. I was so angry. They wake you up early in the morning, trouble you to go to school, force uniforms on you. I want to relax. Why can't I rest? Meanwhile, your parents paid school fees. And some of the school fees they paid was borrowed money. Because they didn't even have enough to eat. But they saw your future and knew that you will need education when you are 30. You didn't have enough wisdom to know that. Those days when they are betting you to go to school, you'll be fighting. Leave me alone. They will drag you to school and you will be crying and crying. And they insist you will go. You will come back angry. But today, you are feeding off the things that they did for you that you fought against. Because although they were spending, they knew it was necessary for your future. Now, if you have such people, and the Bible now comes and says, as wicked as your parents are, then you need to find out what the Bible is saying. Because the last time I checked, my parents were not wicked. So what is the Bible saying? He's trying to give you a comparison that the love God has for you compared to the love your parents have for you, is that the love of your parents is wickedness. Because as much as your parents love you, there is a level and a limit to their love. The Bible said even a mother at a point might let go of a suckling child. That possibility can exist. There are parents that if their life is at risk, they will give up the children. That's how it is. There are parents that sometimes because of certain earthly things, they sell their children. Some because of image. I've seen women who threw children away in the dustbin because they were pregnant, they hid and gave birth to the child, but they don't want to carry the scar that they are single mothers. Because of their persons, their ego, they throw the child away and they walk away. So there is a limit to the love of parents, even though they love us so much. So God is saying that his love for you is highly unconditional. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing anybody can do. And there's nothing the devil can do that will stop God from loving you. If you like, think of the worst thing you have done. It is not enough to stop God from loving you. This is why even when you sin, you come back to God and say, Father, how dare you come here? The anger of God would have licked you up. But when he gave up Jesus, that love barricaded everything. If you read Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5 to verse 9, you will see the graphic expression of the love of God demonstrated in Christ Jesus. Oh, I wish we had the Message version, but not to worry. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He said, think of yours. Okay, is that Message? Celebrate this woman of God. He said, think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. And then he went further to show you a few things. He said he had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. He now went down to show us 7 sacrifices of love that Jesus had to pay in the place of the Father because of you. Number one, he said when the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity. I wish you know what that means. Do you know the privileges of King Charles? you know the privileges of King Charles? Can you imagine? Even if they walk, it's because they want to use it to teach them some things. They don't walk to survive. So they walk to learn hard work. They walk to learn integrity. While you are laboring to have what to eat, to him, work is just a way of teaching him some things. And any day he's tired, they will stop. If there's famine, they don't know. If there's hunger, they don't know. The whole asset of the nation is deployed not just to protect them, but for their comfort. In fact, if anything happens to them, it is considered an insult to the nation. That means their security is the dignity of the nation. So they do everything for them to be secured. And if anyone happens to die, the whole nation will mourn and celebrate. There will be public holidays. And there's nothing you can do about it. It's called privilege. And there are many rulers and monarchs like that all around the world. Then you now come to political and democratic system. You have presidents. When the queen died and the American president came here, you now saw what privilege is. Other presidents were carried in buses, including my own. They had to fly the beast from when people don't have money for food, they are flying cars. They flew the beast down and the president was driving in another country as if he was in America. The streets that he followed, they shut them down. So if the street happened to be your neighborhood, it's either you come out very early that day and go back late or lock yourself indoors. Because somebody came from another nation to use your street. You no longer have the right to use it. It's privilege of power. That's why these people fight to keep that office. In Africa, where we come from, somebody will be accused of corruption. The honorable thing to do is to resign. Kill him, he will not. Rather, he's planning for second term. Because they clinch to those privileges. But when God wanted to demonstrate love, the Bible said God relieved himself. Meanwhile, the privilege of God is, if you compare it to any president on earth, is an insult. If you compare it to all the privileges of all the presidents and all the kings on earth, is an insult. What he has as a privilege, your mind can't comprehend it. Because you can't even know it in its full essence. Millions of angels worship him day and night, forever and ever. Now, you need to know what worship means to him before you appreciate the fact that they worship him unending. You know, Money may mean so much to you. So if somebody gives you $1 million, it will, the joy is equivalent to the value you put on money. You understand? So that's why that will be important. Now, there's a premium God puts on worship. And God is receiving worship without ceasing, day and night, forever and ever. And then he decides to put it aside. Everything called privilege, he rolled it away because he's looking for you. That's the first demonstration of the love of God. Imagine if the king wakes up today and says, because I love you, I need to abdicate my throne just to help you. They say if he must protect you, he must give up his throne. And then he wakes up and gives up the throne. Will you believe? He removed the privilege. That's not all. He said even the status of God, he took it away. That means for that season, he refused to be called God. And he didn't stop there. He went further. He said he became human. That's like altering of nature. He took upon himself the nature of a human being. And he didn't stop there. He said even among men, he did not cleave to the privileges that men cleave to. Imagine now, they tell me there's danger in the ant kingdom. And the only way to help them is for me to become an ant. An ant that somebody can match mistakenly and kill you. Oh God, I will not go there, sir. We must look for another way of saving ants. This man, I will never become an ant. Or they tell you they need to save pigs. And it's not a big deal. You just go and be among pigs for some time. Me. You will go into mud because of, no, I won't. Something else has to be done for pigs. Or let's forget pigs for now. There are many animals in the universe that can never. But Jesus became human. He removed the privilege. He removed the status. He removed the nature. And even among men, he didn't cleave to any privilege of a man. That's why he was born in a manger. There was no decency about his birth. He was born and kept among camels and donkeys. And then you say, why are you doing all this? He's trying to show you the depths of love that he has for you. This is not the kind of love that spouses do, that somebody calls you in the office, honey, how are you doing? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking stripping yourself of everything that gives you relevance. He was willing to go that far. And he said, even at that level, he lived selflessly. He didn't just live selflessly. He lived by rules and regulations. God that is worship, God that is majesty, all of a sudden, God now has to live by privileges, by rules and by regulation. And then he had to suffer the taste of death. And not just any death, but the death of a criminal. So God was labeled a criminal because of you. If this ever makes meaning to you, every fear in your life will vanish. If this makes any meaning to you, if by the Holy Ghost, because for this thing to make meaning to you, first of all, you need to perceive who God is. Because if you don't know who God is, you won't take it serious. If they tell you now that because you, maybe you had fever, they say the American president wants to come and see you. Because you know who he is, you will say it's not possible. No, he doesn't have to come. No need. Because you know the protocol involved for the American president to move. And to move because of you, or the king to move because of you, it will be something you'll never forget. The day he comes to you and say, it's well, get well soon, you will snap that picture and frame it, and the whole world will see it. That King Charles came to your house the day you were sick and said, get well soon. But God descended from heaven. God. And came to live among men as a man and died a shameful death, the death of a criminal. They hung him completely naked on the cross. There was no covering. If you walk naked on this street, I bet you will relocate from London. Because you can't bear the shame. But he hung on the cross naked. People looked at him and spat at him. I thought you say you are powerful. Save yourself. And God experienced what helplessness is. He wept on that cross, and every second was pain unimaginable. They did a medical examination, medical study on the pain he was experiencing on the cross. It's not what anybody could endure for 5 minutes. The literal pain. And he felt every ounce of that pain. Because if he didn't, he would have been fake. He felt every pain. Nails pierced through his leg, hands. So apart from the shame, the psychological trauma that I'm naked, and not just naked before strangers, his mother stood there. His disciples stood there. And everybody that revered him stood there and were watching. Some were wondering, I thought he's powerful. How can't he save himself? Others were wondering, hey, is this Jesus? And he hung there for hours. Hours. Those who did the analysis, because his leg was nailed and his hand was nailed, he was hanging downwards. So his stomach was twisted. Now, medically speaking, they said he put weight on his diaphragm so he couldn't breathe. Now, every time he needs to breathe, he will pull himself on that nail and breathe and go back. And he was pulling himself every second to breathe for hours. For hours. And God didn't help him. He endured that pain. And he didn't come because we are many. If you are the only one, he would have come. Because he did it for everybody as an individual. So there is the pain of shame that I'm naked before my people. There is the literal torture of that struggle to breathe and with nails on the leg and hand. All of that. The question is, who are you? That's the love of God. See, this is why God cannot hear any accusation from the devil. When the devil accuses you, he says, no. They overcame you by the blood of the Lamb. The blood has said something. You know what the blood said? Forgive him. So even before you approach God, the blood said, forgiven. The blood said, justified. And so when God looks at you, God called you righteous, even when you have not done anything good. Because of the testimony of the blood. That's the level of love. And when God called you righteous, God was hoping that you will live righteous. So it was a divine gamble. This murderer, I hope that by the Holy Spirit, he will understand and become righteous. Notwithstanding, even if he doesn't, righteous. And he didn't just stop, justified. And he didn't just stop, he made you become part of the family of God. And he made you a joint heir with Christ. Everything he owns belongs to you. He said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Many have not encountered the love of God. That's why they think of God so small. They can't do anything for God. And every little mistake they make, they think God kicks them out. No. God loves you beyond that. And that's why even when we fall, the everlasting arm of God is open and he invites us into his embrace. The best way Jesus could paint it was in the story of the prodigal son. The guy collected his inheritance. He went and squandered it. That means he no longer has a place in the house of his father. Even him judged himself, like you and I do, and said, I'm not qualified to be a servant. Because I have not only dishonored my father, I have spent my inheritance. And he mentored himself to go and tell his father, please honor me by treating me like a slave. When he was coming, even before he spoke, the father ran to him and hugged him and kissed him. Now, he no longer has a place. So what the father did was that the father gave him his own place. That was why he removed his ring and put it in his hand. He removed his garment and covered him and he gave him his sandal. You have lost your place, but I will give you my own place. That's how he was reinstated. It's called the fatherhood of God. When Paul taught this, he said, the love of Christ constrains us. He said, for we thus judge that if he died for all, then they that live should no longer live for themselves, but to live for Christ that died for them. 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. See, this is why you can never outdo God. Even if we have to die for this Jesus, it's an honor. Because our life was worthless until he came. So the realization of the love of God is what sets you on fire for God. Because nothing you seem to do is enough. Nothing you give is enough. So you can give your time, you can give your energy, you can give your resources, you can even give your life. It's nothing compared to what he did for you. When you find people who still live for themselves, it means they have not encountered the love of Jesus. And the gospel we preach is to let the world know that God is not angry with them. That God loved them so much that he has sent his son to die for them. And so they should come back home. Come back home. Christ is the definition of the love of God. And if a generation will wake up, the first encounter that generation must have is an encounter with the love of God. It will bring peace to your life. It will bring rest to you. It will bring assurance. Believe me, brothers and sisters, what informs our confidence as we travel around the world is the love of God. You hear people talk, we say things like we can't die. It's not because we are strong in ourselves. We know too much that God has got our back. So, there's no situation that can take you unawares. There's no situation that can subdue you. You just know. Even when you enter the greatest disappointment, you stand up and you tell yourself, your life does not begin and end with that job. Your life does not begin and end with that boy. Your life does not begin and end with that lady. That may be a great disappointment, but there is one that covers you. There's one that will redeem and restore. And so when you remember the love of God, it triggers a new confidence and assurance. This is why nobody can threaten you. This is why nobody can intimidate you. Because the love of God covers for it all. But you see, most of us have not known the love of God. So even when we do the things we do, we just see it as religious acts and rituals. So today, you have to talk people to praying. No, not a man who has encountered the love of God. Even gratitude alone will keep you on the altar for 10 days. Where do you start from? If you know the judgment that is to come, and you know there's nothing you would have done to escape it, there's nothing, there's no way to escape judgment. The only way out of judgment is Christ, because he's the only righteous one. He included us in himself. That's why you will not go to hell. You are not going to hell because of anything you do. It's because of what Christ did. Realizing that alone, gratitude, will keep you on the altar for your lifetime. If you know what that judgment is. Or is it the victory you enjoy in life today? You say, Christ has become unto us wisdom. I just know things by the Spirit. People are investing. Every factor indicates that you should invest. But when you want to put your money, something in you say no. You don't even know why and how you know. But Christ is in you. There's a whisper. And then you make decisions. 100% precision. Not because you are the wisest man. But there's a wise being on your inside. You check your life backward. 5 years ago, you had no hope. Today, you are celebrated. Even you don't know how you got here. But an invisible finger manipulated your steps. And you show up here. It's because of the love of God. So both in this life and in the life to come, you have value because of the love of God. And the day you know it, it now becomes a weapon. And so I can face tomorrow because of Jesus. When I'm approaching tomorrow, I tell myself, the devil has not what it takes to pull me down. Because the path of the just man is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter. Even if I'm to make a mistake, God will correct me. I won't make any error. He won't let me. They tell you there are curses. Oh, somebody has cursed you. Oh, demons are waiting for you. It can't work with me, sir. They say there's no enchantment against Jacob. There's no divination against Israel. Not because Jacob is strong. There's a shout of a king. See, when God gave Jesus for me, he made a statement to the devil. If you touch him, you touch me. It was an open statement. I'm willing to give my best for him. So if you know what is good for you, don't go there. That's why the devil is afraid of some of us, because we know the extent to which God loves us. Is it me that will do something that will fail? No, it can't fail. My life was a failure. God came and corrected it. Is it a business I'm starting now that will fail? I know. See, even if it's at the 11th hour, God will send help. He said they looked up to him and their faces were radiant and they were not ashamed. See, if it takes the word shifting for me to succeed, it will happen. Because when God shifted Jesus, nothing was too big for God to move on my account. Somebody can leave New York, travel to Nigeria because of me. He can lose his sleep because of me. A king can shut down a cabinet meeting to find me because I can't fail. I know it. I've encountered the love of God. You see, most of us have not. And the reason we have not is because we have not heard the gospel. We have heard the traditions of men. So when an African is preaching, he preaches from his perspective of oppression. He preaches from his perspective of the wickedness that he experienced among his people. And then he paints God in that manner. If an American is preaching, he preaches from the perspective of his looseness. So all of us preach from our bias. And because we preach from our corrupt bias, we cannot paint God accurately. This is why we must go back to the scripture. He was telling me, we're talking in the car when we're coming. Why do you go to African meetings and 90 are Africans? Because we are preaching African culture. From our worship to our message, all communicates the personality, the perspective, and the culture of Africa, not the gospel. But a generation must rise that preaches the love of God in the purity of the gospel. So that when your message is x-rayed, they will find Jesus in the middle. That's when you can awaken a generation. An encounter with the love of God. Listen, even if we stop here tonight, God has blessed us. You will walk out of this place and you will not have fear in your life anymore. Not because somebody promised you, but now you know God has got your back. That rest alone will give you victory in life. When you pray, you will pray with an assurance that even you will wonder, how did I get here? How do you think we look at people who are sick and we walk up to them boldly and say you will be healed? We know this God can't allow us to be put to shame. And we know God loves these people to allow them in their circumstance. So you see a lady who is carrying cancerous growth, or a brother who is carrying a cancerous growth, or you see somebody who is blind for 5 years, 10 years, he's been walking with blindness, and you are coming, you think God is no more concerned than that person. When I started understanding the love of God, I knew prayer for God was an excuse to do what he wanted to do all the while. I don't love God half as much as I love the people I'm praying for. I might even be praying for them because necessity is laid upon me as a preacher. But God is out to see their welfare. God is more interested in them than I will ever be. These things will change the outlook of your life and your ministry. When you step out, there will be confidence. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In Romans 5:8, he said, God commends his love towards us. He said, for while we were yet sinners, we were not wise enough to ask for forgiveness. He said, Christ died for us. You know what it means? Christ died for you, hoping you'll be wise enough to accept it. It's like you are in debt somewhere, and somebody came and paid, hoping that you accept the payment. So he's suffering loss, even when you have not realized it. But his love will not allow him see you indebted for a day. That's how God works. And a generation that must be awakened must know the love of God. It will be the basis of your confidence. It will be the basis of your security. It will be the basis of your dominion. That's how it works. Even in our earthly life, you experience it. If your boss tells you to do something and you are doing it and he's nodding, you will find more morale because he's nodding, he's commending you. So his confidence and acceptance of what you are doing becomes strength. And you discover that you become more creative. You become more bold. That's what God does every time. As you step out, he's cheering you up. When you fall, he tells you, get up, you can do it. If you have children here, and maybe they go to compete in a marathon, and maybe your daughter of 5 years or 10 years is running, and she falls, will you carry Koboko to come and flog? Why did you fall? You have disgraced me. Which father does that? When you fall to sin, that's what God does. Come on. You are stronger than this. You can do it. The Holy Ghost is pushing you and cheering you up. Live righteous. Live holy. You have the capacity. God is not judging you and telling you, look at you. After all that I've wasted on your life, see you here fornicating. No. He cheers you up so that you don't do it anymore. If he condemns you, you will still fall. Praise God. The love of God. Many have not encountered it. That's why we, even those who are doing things for God, they are doing it out of fear. There are many people here who are not, they are not praying because they love God. And that's why they never hear God when they pray. Prayer for them is roll call. Hey, I didn't pray today. Oh, oh God, forgive me. I will try tomorrow. So the reason they are praying and begging to be prayerful is not because they have a relationship. They just want, they are hoping that when they are praying, God will be pleased. But there's another person that is in love with the Holy Ghost. God literally draws him. And so when he goes to that altar, it's a love affair. It's intimacy. That guy is 1,000 times more powerful than the one praying to meet Roko. And that's why that guy who is praying not to offend God, prayer becomes a burden to him. But the one who is praying out of love and relationship, prayer is something his soul yearns for. And every time he goes to pray, there is result. He hears the voice of God. He is transformed and the power of God flows through him. Because he's not doing it out of compulsion, guilt or fear. He's doing it out of love and awareness of God. Praise God. First awakening, the love of God. Our time is fast spent. Let me touch the second one and we shut down. Awakening to the life and power of God. This dimension of awakening is an awareness of what God has done for you already and what God has made available. And all of these things are packaged in the gospel. This is why the gospel is called the power of God unto salvation. There are many people who are aware of what God has not done. There are many people who are aware of what God wants to do, but they don't know what God has already done. So every time they are struggling to get God to do something, this is why they never get results. Their lives are barren and unfruitful. If you will walk in the power of God, you must know what you already have. You must know what God has already done. You must be persuaded that these things are available, and then you begin to walk in it. Many Christians have not known these truths. And so the mountains they struggle with are not the challenges they confront. It's their fear of their inability to move God. It's their fear of God not being in agreement with them. It's their fear of God not willing to spend what they feel should be spent in order to achieve a kind of result. That is why their life is barren. And so if you want to walk in the power of God, you must become aware of everything that has already been done. You must take it as it is and begin to walk in it as a present hour reality. Romans 6 verse 4 and 5. I read a few scriptures. It said, therefore we are buried. Notice that the tenses are in past. We are buried with him in baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised, not will be raised, buried as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Because he has risen, we are now to walk in the newness of life. If you want to walk in power, this must become your everyday consciousness. That God is not about to do it. God has already done it. It's a type of awakening. Many don't know how God operates. That's why they struggle. In Colossians chapter 3 from verse 1 to 3, hear the way Paul puts it. These are simple but very powerful principles. You know, this is a generation where God is raising an army. God is not looking for a special apostle or a special prophet to do something on special occasions. God wants to raise an army where everybody is able to demonstrate God every day. And for that to happen, there are certain truths that we must master. He said, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ seated at the right hand of God. Go to the next verse. He said, set your affection. Paul is telling you, you must know this thing and it must become your reality. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Next verse. He said, for you are dead and your life is hid in God. There is already a reality. Think that reality. Focus on that reality. For you are what? Dead and your life is hidden what? With Christ in God. Your life, present hour, is hid in Christ with God. See, this is how God operates. That's why God has results every day, every time. If you read Romans chapter 4 verse 17, you see how the Bible puts it. Let me show you something. It's a principle, but many don't think it, don't realize it. Your consciousness is what determines your outcome. If you think God will do it, God will do it. But when he will do it, that depends on when your consciousness can bring it. But if you think God has already done it, then it's already done. So you can insist it's now. That's why I say now faith is. Faith makes it now because it's already done. But belief makes it future because he will and can do it. If you live in that realm, you will never command results. Meanwhile, most of the things you need is now. But you are not thinking in the now. He said, as it is written, I have made thee. This is God talking to Abraham. The guy had no child. But see God talking. He didn't say, I will make you. As it is written, I have what? I have made thee a father of many nations. He said, before him whom he believed. You see the problem of Abraham. He was the one who put it in the future. Even God, who quickened the dead, and what's the principle? Call it those things that be not as though they. This is the key of walking in power. If you will be awakened to the power of God, you must have a consciousness of all that has been done. And you must know that it's already in the now. He said, God, call it those things that what? That be not as though they were. But we call it those things that be as though they will be. That's why we never walk in the power and in the supernatural. If I say, okay, let's pray for somebody now. Maybe somebody has an ear challenge. Somebody will be wondering, can the person be healed now? Is it possible like now? Your programming will be more comfortable if I say, okay, tomorrow something will happen. You'll be at rest. But if we say now, there'll be crisis on your inside. That alarm is why you don't walk in power. And so for you to begin to walk in the power of God, that alarm must be silenced. You must be able to bring it into the now. And it's a principle. He called those things that what? Be not as though they were. This is a type of awakening that we must have. You know why you can go to the house of the sick and say you are healed? It's because you know that God called those things that be not as though they now. You know why you are not going? You are not sure if they will be healed. Trust me, everybody sitting here, if you know you say something, it will happen. Every day you start saying it. You sitting here that you think you are weak praying for the sick. If you know you lay hands on the sick, they will be healed. You will walk all the corners of the United Kingdom looking for the sick. And trust me, you will not pray until there's camera. You will tell them, no, I'm not praying. I want this thing to be live. If it's on BBC, better. Because now you know something is about to go viral. But because you are not sure, when they say pray for the sick, you say, where is pastor? Get pastor's number. Let him pray for them. And if they say you are the one, you say later. But this principle should dominate you. Convince yourself this is how God works. Convince yourself this is the truth. Now, see the way God created the world. In Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1. The world was in darkness. It said chaos. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. God said, light be. And he said, God saw it and it was good. He said, God called all the green herbs and vegetation to come from the ground. God saw it was good. But there was nothing anywhere. Where did he see it? He saw it in his reality. It must be so. It was in chapter 2 when God created the man to till the ground and the earth, the sun, water left the earth and poured down as dew that the crops began to grow. But God saw it. It's a principle. So even when it's not yet happening, know it. Stay there. Believe there. You will discover that not too long, that will now become your disposition. So a day will come when if you pray for the sick and they are not healed, you'll be surprised. I know now if you pray and they are healed, you are surprised. But a day will come if you pray and they are not healed, you'll be surprised. That's the day you know that truly you have understood this principle. Your consciousness has shifted. And this is a type of awakening. See, we will keep forcing Christians to do the work of God until they have this encounter. The moment a Christian encounters God in this manner and know that if I say it, it is done, that day that Christian becomes a radical agent of the kingdom. But if we have not gotten to this place, there will always be restrictions. There will always be reluctance. There will always be restraint. So the problem is not that the guy doesn't want to pray for the sick. The problem is not that the sister doesn't want to go out. She is not sure what will happen. But you have to mentor them that God is not setting you up. If God tells you, say it, it is done, it's because he has put something on your inside already. If he didn't put anything on your inside, it will be a setup. He has put something on your inside. Your inability to say it and believe it is stopping the flow of that thing on your inside. The day you start saying it and it becomes your consciousness, then that thing that is on your inside will start flowing. So the answer is there, but there's something negating it. What did God put on your inside? As you are sitting here now, you have the same life that God has. And that life of God is what animates everything God says. When God talks, he releases life. He says life and death are in the power of the tongue. Now, how do you release that life? It's when you speak as though it is done. If you speak as though it will be done, life will not flow. But if you speak as though it's already done, then life flows. So the life to cure darkness and death is in you, but it's short. So the trigger is the faith that speaks it as though it's already done. So when you see God doing more with one person, it's not because that person has more. It's because that person can release more. And the way to release is to enter a consciousness that all things are yours, that all things are already done in Christ Jesus. Your duty is to enforce it. Light anymore. It will just be, where is the socket? So the issue many Christians have, they think is the inability or non-availability of life. They think it's non-availability of the anointing, but that's not true. Sir, every one of us sitting here, you have the fullness of God on your inside. You don't know how. There's an encounter you must have. When you say it the way God says it, when you say it as though it's already done in Christ, then you release the force. Ephesians 3:20 said, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think, according to the power at work on your inside. That means God is not able to do. The only time God is able to do is when you think it and say it. That's when the power on your inside will align with the abilities of God. But that resonance will never take place until you come to that point. I'm saying this because the idea behind our gathering is to stir the hearts of people up to go out and begin to represent God's kingdom. But you cannot go out with that mindset of uncertainty. No, you will not get results. You must go out with an absolute mindset. You must go out with an assurance that everything you need is already in you now. Like I tell people, this service, we can turn it to a miracle service now. Not because we... If you know that I have the healing power of God in me to you now. I was preaching in Port Harcourt 3 days ago. Somebody was driving on the road. And I made a declaration. I said, you have pain on your spine. Your spinal cord, there's a challenge, you are healed. The guy was driving. When he saw the multitude, he now parked. He said he was hearing my voice. Few minutes later, I made a declaration. He checked. He couldn't even as much as drive that night. And every pain left. I was not even conscious of him. I was focusing on the people in the field. But what was being discharged could affect anything available to receive. And somebody on the other side of the road received a healing, ran to the crusade ground excited. Because what we have is more than what the world can receive. If 10% of the Christians in the world today operate at 50% of their capacity, this world will explode with power. Because every one of us carry the fullness of God. The life of God there, the anointing of the Holy Ghost there, the energy of eternal life there, everything you require for life and godliness is there. You are just not releasing it. It's just like a man carrying a full loaded gun, yet he's being molested and he will never shoot. The gun has the power to deliver, but the gun can only function to capacity when it is triggered. Many are not triggered. So we need to be awoken. See, every day release your trigger. When you wake up, there's a challenge. See, that's how you learn the God life. You don't learn the God life by attending Bible seminaries. Many people have gone to theology schools, Bible seminaries. They are powerless. But there are some raw evangelists that don't even know the doctrine of the resurrection. But you carry them to the field. You say, if you see a demon, say, in the name of Jesus, come out. Is that all? You say, yes. They say, okay, let's go. As they go to the crusade ground, they don't even have discernment, but they are checking. Anybody who behaves anyhow, they will come. Could this be a demon? In the name of Jesus, come up. You will see demon. The demons we assume you know. And the thing is working. They will go to another person. They now start checking everybody if they are demonized. Sometimes they will hold somebody and say it in their mind. In case there is demon. Because they don't even have discernment. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Okay, no, nothing is there. In the name of Jesus. The thing will intoxicate you. I'm telling you, if you start manifesting God, if the Holy Ghost doesn't help you, you will go mad. Everywhere you go, you want to demo. When people started falling down, and I noticed, this anointing, the thing, they flow. When I fast, I will go and walk where people are. Sometimes when we are in church, I will just pass. And the Holy Ghost now taught me that this thing operates based on consciousness. I will stand on a row like this. Somebody will shout there. Somebody will fall here. I will move away. All right. That's all the thing there. We will shake people. We will not leave them. We want to transmit power by force. We will hold somebody and just hold the person. The person will shout. You leave the person and walk. You walk like a cherubim. Any meeting I go to, people must fall down. Even if I'm teaching on money, people must be slain. It took the Holy Ghost to tell me that no, it's not a show. It's for a purpose. I had to start terming it. When I started praying for the sick, and they started getting healed, I gave my phone number to everybody that knew me. I said, if anybody is sick, tell them to call this line. Because I needed more practicals. I now started going for meetings. I started noticing some things started repeating. Every time I pray, somebody will say two more left. This thing is sensitive to tumors. If I now go out, people who have tumors say, wait aside. Your own case is special. I was practicing. I will come and blow on them. Some I will move my hand. And I'm imagining that I'm releasing radiation. And as I'm moving, God will touch them. They will be shed. I say, no wonder Benihim used to remove his suit. Me too, I remove my own. I remove my own. I will swing it. People will fall down. Ah! The thing entered my head. So anytime I get charged, even the way you walk is different. The thing, oh man. And the more you give it room, the more volumes we flow. The more volumes we flow. The more volumes. That was when I started noticing that even sound used to facilitate it. I now built a ward around the operation. If I'm in my room, sound is playing. I was coming. I landed this morning, by the way. I flew all night. As I was in the plane, I laid down. And sound was playing. The woman by my side looked at me. He's troubling me with this sound. Now that he's sleeping, the thing is still playing. I say, you don't understand. The Bible says, why men slept? The enemy was sowing. Who told you my spirit sleep? My spirit is awake. I'm charging. Because I now know how it works. Today, you enjoy praying for the sick more in the stadium. Because you have assurance. And I discovered it's not about me. It's about what he planted inside me, and it's about the principle that makes it work. I didn't put eternal life in myself. God put it there. I didn't put the anointing on myself. I didn't put the Holy Ghost in me. He put it there. So he knows the purpose for which they are there. And he taught me through his word how to release them. And my release of them is faith. I say it as if it's already done. So sometimes I come for a meeting, I say, don't worry, 5 minutes to go, we will release something. You are acting like a master. It's because you are now sure. And when you are done preaching, you tell them, I want to show you the difference between divine energy and human energy. And as you are doing, these things will be working. Because the principles will not lie. What is on your inside is the truth. The life of God is there. The anointing is there. If you obey the principle, the life will flow. You will not discover that you are just a connector. You are a conduit. You know, this switch that powers the light here is working because electricity is flowing. The whole wiring system is just a conduit. So long as electricity is flowing, if you power the switch, something will happen. That's who the Christian is. We were called to show God to a dying generation. We were called to reveal God to a dark generation. So sufficient of God is put on our inside, and by a principle, we release him. So something is in you. You declare it by faith. It's a type of awakening. When you leave this meeting, start your practicals. Somebody has headache. Make declaration. Tell him, check. After 10 minutes, nothing happened. Lay hands. The more the contact, the more the transmission. As you lay hands, you will transmit some things. Wait for 10 minutes. Tell, check. If nothing happened, come, use your two hands this time. Transmit enough voltage. You'll discover that you'll be growing in it. Because the thing is in you. The problem is that God is locked in many people. Trying to have expression, but they won't let him. And the reason is because they don't know the principle. Somebody tells you a business is not working. Tell the person, call me by 10 p.m. when you are free. Ventilate your spirit. Make sure there's no hindrance. When the person calls, in the name of Jesus, I command this business, begin to work. Tell him, give me feedback in 14 days. You start recording testimonies, you'll be shocked. If they tell you you are the one, you won't believe it. Don't run around church. Go out and represent Jesus. There's something you are invested with. The life of God, the power of God, the glory of God, the anointing of God. You are saturated with it. To make things worse, some people do retreats. 14 days. Fasting, 21 days. They generate power. It's locked there. They never release it. We need to know. There must be an awakening to power. I carry too much power. Listen, I carry so much of it. I know. Now, I deliberately regulate it. Deliberately. And as you start mastering it, you know which one to release. There are some that you release through utterance. If you want people to have encounters, you know where you talk from, and the atmosphere will shift. If you want people to be healed, you know where to talk from. And as you are talking and it's opening, the realm will now begin to give you instruction. It may tell you to make a declaration. It may tell you to lay hands on the people. It may tell you to blow on them. And as you are doing all of those things that look like drama, supernatural things will be happening and people will wonder what is going on. You have been awoken to the realm of power. That awakening is simple. God is in me. I'm not hoping that God will come from heaven to do something. He's here. My job is to release him. And the way I release him is by the trigger of faith. And that is simple. It is already done in Christ Jesus. So I come to affirm what is. I'm not trying to get something that has not been done. I'm coming to affirm what has already been done. And as you are doing this, you will see the finger of God. Ah! My God. See, my spirit now is moving. My spirit is moving. It's floating like there's a water. It's moving. And when your spirit begins to move, things can begin to happen. Because as it is here, that's how it is here. You control the external from the internal. That's how you work it. You control it. And when you start mastering it, you can sit in your office with fire. You will just keep it in you. Sometimes you go to the restroom. You ventilate a little. You come back. You are doing economics. You are doing buying and selling. But there's power. There's power. Sometimes when it's so much, you can walk to the seats where your colleagues are. Lay hands on the chairs and go. They will come back the next day. All of you will tell you they had a dream. You activated an encounter for them. Then you now sit like Daniel. You'll be interpreting the dream. What you saw, this is the meaning. It's the God life. Sometimes you go to the office before everybody. You saturate the atmosphere. Manda praha safakora halagata. Lele hali lahura hakatena. Pero kahati. When you are now charged, you now give laws. Everybody who comes into this atmosphere and spends more than 30 minutes, let that person have an encounter. And you'll be shocked the testimonies that will be coming, because you are now dictating the operations of that realm. That's how you walk in power. We must become active. See, the dark princes know these things. A native doctor can choose to come here 1 week before this meeting, walk around this building 2 times and go. And say, no matter what they say, the heaven will be locked. The heart of people won't open. If you don't have more stature, you'll be shocked. You will preach here for 14 days. Nobody will receive. Because somebody else came to dictate a law. They know how power works. That native doctor may know that his job is to stay awake all night. And by 5 o'clock, he will kill a chicken. That wicked act can release power. Because he knows his own protocol. Your own protocol is just to be conscious that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. And decree what God says he has done. And we cannot maintain that consciousness. That's why I said, I've seen an abomination on the face of the earth. He said, princes are trekking. White beggars are riding on horses. The people who are casting spells on Christians are supposed to be the people we are chasing every day and casting demons from. but we don't know what we carry. We reduce Christianity to mundane things. My brothers and sisters, God is in you. Don't allow him hide. He wants to manifest. He said you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, God's own special people, called forth to manifest God. Called to showcase. How much of God are you showcasing? When you start doing these things, the anointing will teach you. You know what the Bible said? He said you don't need any man to teach you. He said you have an unction from the Holy Ghost. And he said that unction teaches you all things. Sometimes when you are worshiping, your hand becomes heavy. You say, what is this? He now tells you, it's the weight of my presence. If you put the hand on somebody, the person will go on 14 days fast. Because you put something. Is God manifested through human vessels? Jesus came to die for you, but that was not God's agenda. But he needed to die for you to fulfill God's agenda. God's agenda is for you to bring his government to the earth. And the way to do it is to manifest it wherever you find yourself. In Luke 10, 16, it said, when they hear you, they hear me. That means even our utterances communicate God. It said, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. That means when we touch, we release God. Do you know what God did? That's why I say you are a new creation. You are a new creation. You are a species that has never existed before. They may look a poor woman. They are wrong. They say widows receive their dead back to life. You can be seen as poor, but there's a power to raise the dead. Those are dimensions locked on our inside. But these graces cannot find expression until we become aware. What are you aware of?
When you are here.
are able to tap into it, all of us, we are manifest like Christ. He said, the works that I do, he said, you shall do also. And he said, greater works. That means the plan of God is for the world not to notice that Jesus has gone. Because every one of us will reveal him and manifest him as though he's in every one of us. And truly he is.
Thank you. burn the spirit.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that he died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. I, therefore, confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. If you just said these prayers, congratulations, you are now a member of the family of God. Kindly send us an email, prayer@encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. God bless you.